Our focus this morning is that reading in Joshua chapter 7 on page 221. Thank you very much to Jeff and Peter for giving us that long reading so excellently. Shall we pray together and ask for the Lord to speak to us in his word? Our gracious God, we thank you for this precious time to think together about your living word. Please shine your light into our hearts. And we know that when you challenge us, it is because of your love. So please lead us this morning through challenge, yes, but also to the cross of Jesus in fresh trust and appreciation. Amen. Amen. So often in life, if you have a problem, it's important to know how serious it is. Over Christmas, I was watching the film Titanic, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Now, in my opinion, the film is a modern classic. Pathfinders, you'll be able to tell me later whether young people today still watch that film Titanic. One of the things that strikes me when I see Titanic is that after the ship has hit the iceberg, most of the passengers have no idea how serious their problem is. You remember, they carry on arguing, they carry on ordering meals for that evening, planning what they're going to wear later today, as if striking an iceberg is just a minor glitch. And meanwhile, lifeboats are leaving the ship half empty. If only they had realized the seriousness of their problem, more would have been saved. Well, today we return to the book of Joshua for three sermons. And Joshua chapter 7 is given to show us the seriousness of a problem we all have, the problem of sin. It's so easy to look at sin in our lives and think it's just a minor glitch. To give some examples, dishonesty, sexual impurity, prayerlessness, bitterness. We can think of them as a minor glitch. But Joshua 7 shows us the true seriousness of sin. Now, it's our practice here at St. Mary's to preach through books of the Bible. I have found this challenging and quite uncomfortable chapter to read. I wonder if you found the same as we heard it. It raises many questions. I hope to answer many of them, perhaps not all. But we believe that all Scripture is God-breathed. All of the Bible, Old Testament and New, is God's Word and useful for us. And we know that the God of Joshua 7 is the same God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And if we can learn the seriousness of sin from this chapter, yes, it will be solemn, but it will be a great blessing to us. Just like for those passengers on the Titanic, realizing the seriousness of the problem is essential. It will keep us fighting sin in our lives, and it will keep us trusting and appreciating the cross of Christ. So we've got three themes to draw out of the chapter this morning, and each one in a different way shows us the seriousness of sin. First of all, the essence of Achan's sin. What he did, why it was so wrong. The essence of Achan's sin. We read in verse 1, "But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel." In the book of Joshua, God is giving his people Israel the promised land to be their home. And he's just given them the city of Jericho. And Joshua's last words to the people before they attack Jericho are given in chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Joshua said to them, "But keep away from the devoted things," chapter 6, verse 18, "so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron," these are the devoted things, "are sacred to the Lord, and they must go into his treasury." You see, Israel was not a normal conquering army. They were actually the instruments of God's judgment on the wicked Canaanite people. You may remember what we saw previously about how evil that society was. And this job meant that Israel had to be holy. They had to be different from the Canaanites. The Israelites had a responsibility to trust and obey God, or they would become just like the Canaanites and no longer be holy and God's instruments. Now, Achan has heard Joshua's warning, but he disobeyed God's command, and he took some of that forbidden plunder, the devoted things. And as we'll see, what he did affected the whole people of Israel. Now, this may have seemed to Achan like a small matter, but if we look on at verses 10 and 11 of chapter 7, we see God's assessment of it. The Lord said to Joshua in verse 11, "Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen, they've lied. They've put them with their own possessions." So you see, God is saying that Israel, through the person of Achan, has violated his covenant, which he commanded them to keep. In other words, Achan's sin is a personal rejection of God. God's covenant was the sacred agreement between God and his people. God commits himself to be their God, and they commit themselves to being God's people and to obeying his commands. Now, God has rescued them from slavery. He's looked after them in the wilderness. Now, he's giving them the whole promised land. But in taking this forbidden plunder, it's as if Achan was tearing up the covenant with God. Achan was saying, "I would rather have these forbidden treasures than have relationship and covenant with God himself." He was violating God's covenant. It was a personal rejection of God. But actually, before we point the finger at Achan in superiority, we need to remember that all sin is actually a personal rejection of God. Our society jokes about sin and makes such light of it. I even heard of one brand of ice cream, and they brought out 7 new flavors, and they named them after the 7 so-called deadly sins. They're suggesting that sin is naughty and nice, like having another ice cream. But it's not. We're learning here in the essence of Achan's sin. Sin, it's a personal rejection of God and his covenant. It's not naughty but nice. When I sin, I'm saying I would rather have this forbidden thing than relationship with God, a covenant with him. It's awful. That's our first theme, the essence of Achan's sin, personal rejection of God. Next theme I want us to notice in this chapter is the effect of Achan's sin, what it led to, the effect of Achan's sin. And we see part of this at the end of verse 1. Achan has taken some of the devoted things. End of verse 1 said, "The Lord's anger burned against Israel." It's most unpopular these days to speak of God's anger. And yet we see everywhere in the Bible that sin makes God rightly angry. You see, God's anger is not like our anger so often is. God's anger is never over the top or irrational or selfish. No, God's anger is holy. It's his settled, righteous opposition to everything that is wrong and his refusal to accept evil. There are times, even for us, when it's right for us to be angry. For example, if you see someone at school being bullied, perhaps you feel angry. Well, you'd be right to. Or when we see how the people of Syria have been treated by tyrants who are selfishly after their own ends, perhaps we feel angry about that abuse. We're right to. Well, all sin makes God angry because he is perfectly good. A God who accepted sin would not be a good God at all. We see that God is angry, and we see also in verse 12, the second half of verse 12, God says to the Israelites, "I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." In other words, unless their sin is dealt with, unless the sin is taken away, it stops God being with them, since he is absolutely holy and pure. So Achan's sin, it made God angry, but not only that, it affected the whole people of Israel. Do you notice that in the chapter? I think it's one of the big surprises of this chapter, that one man's sin affected the whole nation. We see it in verse 1. It was Achan who did it, but God's anger burned against Israel. Now, technically, this is known as corporate solidarity. We sometimes see corporate solidarity today. Here's an example. Back in 2014, the England football team was eliminated, as you may remember, painful memory, from the World Cup in the group stages. And the whole country said, we've been knocked out of the World Cup. The team being defeated was a defeat for us all. The team being knocked out was us all being knocked out. That's corporate solidarity. Now, it's not that all of the Israelites were held equally responsible. In the end, it is Achan who is stoned for his sin. But they were all affected. For Israel to be God's agents and instruments in the conquest of Canaan, they had to be holy. And Achan's sin meant they were no longer holy. Until it was dealt with, God was not with them. And we saw in verses 2 to 5 that this had disastrous consequences when they attacked the town of Ai. So you noticed in verse 2, Joshua sent spies to check out Ai. And the spies come back in verse 3 and they say, look, we're not going to need to bother the whole army with this one. There's just a few people up there in Ai. Let's just send 2 or 3,000 and give the other rest of the army a rest. It was like when Liverpool played Little Plymouth in the FA Cup last weekend. They didn't use their whole squad, did they, Liverpool? Not for Little Plymouth Argyle. And they only just managed to draw. Well, when the Israelites attacked Little Ai, not using the whole army, they didn't manage a draw. They were actually terribly defeated. And we read in verse 5 that 36 of them lost their lives. And this tragedy, well, it was a result of Achan's sin, which meant that God wasn't with them anymore. And actually, this is one of the big lessons of this chapter. Our sin affects other people. Sin is radioactive. Your sin affects me, and my sin affects you. My sin can tempt you, weaken you, distract you, confuse you. It stops me helping you as I should. You see, unless our sin is confessed and taken to the cross and cut out, it causes trouble, not only for ourselves, but also for others, family, friends, and churches. See, if the essence of Achan's sin was a personal rejection of God, the effect of Achan's sin is that it affected the whole people. Now, third of all, we see the exposure of Achan's sin. Like all sin, eventually, of course, it came to light, the exposure of Achan's sin. Verse 13, in the middle of the chapter, God told Joshua to go and consecrate the people, that is to prepare them for something very serious. And Joshua tells the people in verse 14 that the next morning they must present themselves tribe by tribe, and that God will select a tribe, a clan, a family, and last of all, the guilty individual. One writer has suggested that the reason it was put off to the next morning was to give Achan time to repent and call out for God's mercy. For Achan, this was the moment of decision. As an Israelite, he would have known Numbers 32, verse 23, which says, be sure that your sin will find you out. But you know, Achan decided to bank on that verse not being true. He decided that night to keep his sin hidden. He decided to hold on to the plunder, and he decided that he was going to hope to get away with it. And so over the page, you can imagine Achan's dismay the next morning with the nation assembled, when first of all, his tribe is taken, and then his clan, and then his family, and then him. And in verse 19, Joshua speaks to Achan, and he says, my son, give glory to the Lord, which is a solemn charge to tell the truth. And he says to him, tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And verse 20, Achan replies, it is true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. Wonder if the verbs there were familiar to you. They're actually the same verbs we read of in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve first saw the fruit and then coveted or desired it, it's the same word, and then took it and then tried to hide what they'd done. That's how sin works. It starts with seeing and desiring something that God has forbidden. And then the battle is on in our hearts. Will we take it? And if we do, will we try to hide what we've done? Well, again, one writer notes that while Achan admits his sin, even now he doesn't call out to God for mercy. Perhaps that's why there's no forgiveness here. It's not asked for. Well, messengers are sent to Achan's tent, and it's just as he said, there the plunder is. And then in verse 24, Joshua, together with all of Achan, all of Israel, I should say, take Achan, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, and his sons and daughters, and his livestock, and they take them to the valley of Achor, and they stone them. Now, I assume, it doesn't say, but I assume that the family are killed because they are willing and responsible accomplices in what Achan has done. But it shows us again how our sin affects others. And then verse 26, once the price has been paid, the sin has been dealt with. Only then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. It's a terrifying scene, and it speaks of the terrible consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. In rejecting God, we are rejecting life. And actually, the exposure of Achan's sin shows that sin always comes to light. You know, on one hand, we can confess it to God and ask for his help to cut it out. Or on the other hand, we can try and keep our sin and hide it from God. But if we do that, we will find, as Achan did, that Numbers 32, verse 23 is actually true. You can be sure that your sin will find you out. So we see the essence of Achan's sin. It may have seemed a trifling matter to him, but it was a personal rejection of God and relationship with him. We see the effect of Achan's sin. It affected others as well as himself. And we see the exposure of Achan's sin. Sin is exposed either as we confess it to God or in judgment. Now, someone has said that the message of the gospel is that we're more wicked than we ever realized, but at the very same time, more loved by God than we ever dreamed. It's a great summary, isn't it? We're more wicked than we ever realized, but at the very same time, more loved than we ever dreamed. Well, if the seriousness of sin shows us the truth of the first half of that summary, we see the second half at the cross. You see, Achan died for his own sin, but in God's love, there is another way. We read in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." God came into the world in the person of his Son to save us from our sins, which are so serious. In love, Jesus, the righteous one, he died in the place of the guilty ones so that we can be forgiven and cleansed and brought to God. In Joshua chapter 7, God's anger was turned away by the death of the guilty one. Well, in Jesus, God's anger can be turned away by the death of the innocent one who died for us. One thing that realizing the seriousness of sin does is it helps us appreciate the cross. But we still need to take sin seriously. You see, the way we receive Jesus' forgiveness is by turning to him in repentance and trusting him in faith. Now, Achan, he hid his sin. But part of repentance is confessing our sin to God and crying for his forgiveness and his help to change. Now, the Israelites, they had to take severe action to cut sin out of their midst. And you remember the words of Jesus? He said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell." Now, he's not literally recommending amputation, but he is saying that part of repentance is taking severe action to cut sin out of our lives. One of the marks of the believer is that with God's help, we fight the sin that we see in our hearts. Those examples I gave, dishonesty, sexual impurity, bitterness, prayerlessness. The mark of the believer is that with God's help, we battle those sins. Now, at times, it may be a losing battle, but with God's help, we try. And actually, just as our sin affects each other, we need each other's help in fighting sin. If we find we can't cut out sin on our own, we must speak to a trusted friend and ask for their prayer, help, and encouragement. I've so often found that a help myself. Since our sin affects each other, we must be open to each other's help in fighting it. So I want to end with a challenge and then with an encouragement. The challenge is, are you taking sin seriously? Perhaps God is calling you back to this morning. Are you hiding and holding on to sin in your life? Or are you confessing it to God and with his help and the help of others, going on cutting it out of your life as best you can? That's the challenge. And then the encouragement. If you are battling sin, remember the cross of Christ. Achan died for his sin, but Jesus Christ died for our sin. If you're one who is battling it, you're doing so as one who is forgiven, ransomed, cleansed, and being restored. So fight on, but fight on knowing that God's anger has been turned away and you rest in his mercy. If we'll take the challenge seriously, then that encouragement is ours. I want to give us a moment to think and to apply this to our own hearts before we sing. So a minute of quiet. Of mercy, can there be mercy reaching even me? Almighty God, we thank you that your mercy is able to reach each one of us if we will take our sin seriously. Help us not to hide and hold on to our sin as Achan did, but instead to confess it to you and with your help to go on cutting it out of our lives. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.